Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We're the programme all about the numbers all around us, in the news and in life. And I'm Tim Harford. This week...
Sweden has pioneered an alternative to lockdown. And it works.
If Sweden succeeds, lockdowns will have been for nothing.
Unlike many other countries, Sweden did not impose a strict lockdown to stem the spread of coronavirus, a strategy that has earned it praise from some and harsh criticism from others.
Sweden warned thousands will die after playing Russian roulette with public.
In this week's More or Less, I'm speaking to Swedish statistician Ulla Rosling to get his take on how well Sweden's approach has worked. Ulla is the co-author of Factfulness and the director of the Gapminder Foundation. I asked him how Sweden's rules have differed from many other European countries.
We have not had any face mask requirements in public. We have not had closed schools. So the thing we have done is banned visits to care homes for elderly and then public events and the number of people in a gathering. Those three things have been really strict. Then the advice to stay home and work from home if you can has been the fourth one. And that's pretty much it.
But restaurants, bars, they're still open.
Yes, but people have been keeping their distances, sitting two tables apart. And the chairs, there are like tape on every second chair so nobody sits too close to another person.
People were asked to self-isolate if they had coronavirus symptoms, but the rest of their household were able to go about their business as normal. And the strictness of the measures isn't the only difference. Sweden also acted later than its Nordic neighbours, such as Denmark, Finland and Norway.
During the first 3 weeks, Denmark and Sweden had the same acceleration of the number of deaths. But then those neighboring countries, one by one, first Denmark, then Norway, and then Finland, they started dropping the number of deaths weeks before Sweden did. And that's because they immediately enforced a lot of lockdown. In Sweden, instead, we continued multiplying the spread of the disease for four more weeks until we also changed behavior strictly. Those 4 weeks, when we kept increasing, that's what brought us up on the very, very high numbers. And then when Sweden turned around, we did it on a much higher number and started dropping at a reasonable speed. The other countries were dropping faster.
So Sweden reached a much higher peak than other Nordic countries. At the height of its epidemic, Sweden was recording over 100 deaths a day, Denmark only 16. And then, after the peak, Sweden's descent was slower than countries such as Spain and Italy, which implemented strict and legally enforced lockdowns. Sweden's death toll now stands at over 5,400. Per capita, it's had five times more deaths attributed to COVID-19 than Denmark, and 11 times more than Norway.
In my opinion, back then I supported the Swedish strategy. Now it's easy to be judging after the fact. I was one of the people who actually thought we could take it a little bit more soft and just trace the cases. But there were so many cases without symptoms. I think that's the key information that we failed to realize, that the cases that were seen by the hospitals was just a fraction of the actual infected people. I do believe that some people in Sweden should have done things in a different way. We should have taken more careful measures. We didn't. So now we know that the outcome in these neighboring countries, they did something we thought was impossible. Actually, the Swedish strategy was based on an assumption that it would be impossible to avoid this kind of spread, which is strange when you look back. In China, they stopped it, right? But I think an assumption was that Sweden can never behave as authoritative as the Chinese government, right? We can never force our citizens to reduce their freedom like that. And it might be true, but probably we could have done it like Norway and Denmark almost did.
And according to Ulla, there were other weaknesses in Sweden's approach. Like many other countries, they failed to test systematically and failed to protect care home residents, who account for around half of Swedish deaths from coronavirus. However, Sweden's epidemic has peaked. Daily deaths are declining. There are now around 20 deaths a day attributed to COVID in Sweden. Although their per capita death rate is now one of the highest in Europe, it is still lower than the UK, Spain and Italy, all of which had stricter lockdown measures. Sweden may have been helped by a number of factors. For example, its low population density and the fact that a high proportion of people live alone. And Ulla says that Swedes did make substantial changes to their behaviour, albeit later than their Nordic neighbours. And this eventually bent the curve of the epidemic.
So the centralised governmental authority rules and restrictions, of course, influence a little bit, but the general public has been afraid and they have changed their behavior. We're not hugging each other. We're not meeting. I haven't met my mother since January. And that is more important. And people are not stupid in Sweden. Even if the authorities are not as strict, the general public has definitely changed their way of behaving. And that's what really matters.
In spite of not shutting businesses in the same way as other countries, Sweden's economy has still taken a hit. They are a big exporter, so their economic fate is closely linked to that of the rest of the world. And even though businesses stayed open throughout, spending fell as people avoided public places. Sweden's gross domestic product, GDP, is forecast to fall by around 5% this year, roughly the same as in neighbouring Denmark, which did impose a strict lockdown.
In general, our economy is suffering almost the same as the neighbouring countries. But from a personal perspective of the citizens, this soft lockdown has been nicer, I guess.
Part of the rationale behind Sweden's strategy was to develop herd immunity. The hope was that if 60 or 70% of the population became infected, they would become immune and protect the rest of the population in future waves. I know back in April there was some talk amongst some senior Swedish epidemiologists that Sweden would reach herd immunity quite soon. Is there any sign that that has happened?
I'd say no. And the whole speculation about herd immunity quickly becomes a mathematical exercise. So when modeling the potential future immunity levels, I've seen too many mathematicians becoming too brave and too self-confident. I don't think we're even close to herd immunity. And remember, there is a basic assumption there that immunity is possible. I would be very careful as an epidemiologist when we don't even know how the immunity works in the body.
But Ulla argues there has been one upside to the Swedish approach that other countries could learn from.
We have kept our schools open. I definitely think that all countries in the world can do that. The children are told to keep separate. The teachers are careful. There is no hugging, etc. And in Sweden, we don't see any evidence that parents and teachers are much more infected. I'm not 100% sure because we don't have such solid data, unfortunately. But if there would have been lots of outbreaks in classrooms or schools where many children or their parents got ill, we would have known about that by now. At least in the Swedish experiment, with all these schools being open, thousands of them for 3 months, we haven't seen these kind of outbreaks. And I think that should serve as an evidence for other countries that it's not very dangerous to keep schools open.
Thanks to Ulla Rosling, the co-author of Factfulness, and that is all we have time for. But please keep your questions and your comments coming in to moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Until next week, goodbye.